And so as we begin this new year in the seasons of the church's calendar, you could imagine that the readings would of course point towards Christmas, that there would be prophecies about the coming of the Messiah, or there'd be discussion about those preparations for the birth of Jesus. Or indeed, if we are at the beginning of this new year, that we would go back to the beginning. We would go to the stories of the creation or other turning points in the history of humanity and our relationship with the living God. But no, we begin at the end. We begin as we reflect on the second coming of Christ, much as we did 2 weeks ago in our readings. As we were concluding the old liturgical year, our minds went towards the end of all things. And it's an interesting thing as to why the church presents us with these three reflections on the second coming, on the power of Christ to change all things according to his plan. And as we reflect on these, I want to begin with the second reading. It's Paul writing to the Thessalonians. It's in fact the very first letter, the very first document that we have in the New Testament. It was written at the very beginning of Paul's ministry. You might remember from reading the letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians, that after he was converted, some 2 or 3 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, he went off for a period of 3 years just to study and reflect. And then it was another 14 years before he then began to do his ministry of traveling around and beginning to work with the different communities. So if it's a few years after the death of Jesus in 30 AD, plus 3, plus 3, plus 14, that's 20 years. So it's pushing it to around the year 50. And it's just after this that Paul writes this letter to this community in Thessalonica. And in this letter, Paul has this deep sense of the beginning of the end, this deep longing that he expresses for the coming of Christ. And it's all because of what Paul experienced that day when he was on his way to Damascus, that day when he, in the flesh, met the risen Jesus. And his whole world changed. Everything was different because of that day when he met the risen Lord. And he knew that in the resurrection of Jesus, the world as they knew it, the world as he understood it, the world defined by the sun and the moon and the stars, all of that was now different. All of that was now ended because the Messiah had come. Because Jesus had come in the flesh as the true Son of God, as the second person of the Trinity. And because Jesus had now walked among us, because Jesus has taken all of our sins onto himself, because they had been nailed on the cross, and because of the work of the Father in raising Jesus to new life on the third day, the world as we knew it was changing. All of the prophecies, all of those wonderful exclamations of the work that God would do in our world, in people like Isaiah and like in Jeremiah that we have today, all of those were beginning to come true. And Paul had that strong sense, particularly in 1 Thessalonians, of this sense that all of this would come to its culmination within their own generation, that Jesus would come again, that Jesus would return to finally complete the work that he began in the resurrection. And so there's this encouragement that Paul gives to the community to ensure that Christ comes into each of their lives. It's the only way that their lives will be different if they allow Jesus to come to them, that Jesus would be present among them, that Jesus would make his home with them, that they would discover the life of the Saviour flowing in their own flesh and blood, that they would allow the life of Jesus to be present among them. And that's why Paul gives this in this beautiful prayer that we have as our second reading, this encouragement that Paul gives to the community to allow the presence of Christ to be true among them. In a sense, of course, we talk about those three different comings of Christ. in a sense, the first prophecy, the first reading that we have from the prophet Jeremiah, points to that first coming, what we celebrate at Christmas, the time when Jesus the Messiah was born among us. The second coming, of course, is when, through the power of the Holy Spirit, every single one of us is able to actually experience, almost exactly the same way as Paul, the very presence of Jesus born in our own lives. Not just as an idea, not as a concept, not as an historical reality, not as something that just happens out there, not even as something that simply happens on the altar, but something that happens inside me, inside my heart, inside my life. And that's the way that Paul encourages us to receive Christ, to allow Christ to come within us. And thirdly, of course, as we pray every Sunday in the Eucharist, we long for that day when Christ will come again. And all of our lives are changed and different because we live with that expectation. Okay, and this thing, Paul was wrong. It didn't happen in that first generation. It didn't happen while Paul was still alive. But we still long for that day when Christ will come again to restore and renew and complete the work of creation, to make things the way that God intended in the first place, before sin entered in, before our selfishness and our egos got in the way of God's plan. That is God's desire, to restore and renew all of creation. And that is what Jesus is talking about in our gospel today. This call for us to be ready, to be watchful, to be prepared, to know that the Lord will come. The Lord will bring His justice. The Lord will bring His truth. The Lord, our integrity, the Lord, our Redeemer, will come. As prophesied from of old, the Lord indeed won't just come once, as He did in Nazareth, as He was born in Bethlehem, as He died in Jerusalem, but He will come again to restore and renew all things. And so our hope, our longing, is for Christ indeed to come. We have this season of Advent, this season of waiting, this season of planning, of preparation, of hope, waiting for the Lord to come, waiting for Him to break into my life, to change my heart, to do the work that He has already begun, to bring it to completion, to bring it to fulfillment. And so we long for Christ to be here. We long for Him to be present. Jesus reminds us that everything else in our lives will change. Everything else in our lives that we might stand on, that we might orient our life around, will come to an end and will be destroyed. You know, we don't need much evidence of that. If you're a climate change advocate, even if you're a climate change skeptic, we all have to acknowledge the fact that things in our world are changing, are different. It's enough even to bring down the Liberal Party at the moment. But there is this truth that if that's where we put our focus and energy, if that's where we orient our lives, that will come to an end. That will be our destruction, in a sense. I remember the story I heard of an airline pilot making an announcement to the cabin. "Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Oceanic Flight 815. I just want to update you on our flight status at the moment. And first thing is, unfortunately, our flight instrumentation has gone down, so we have no idea whatsoever where we are. But the good news is we're making excellent time." And so often, that's the way the world seems to be. You know, we've got no idea where we're going, but my gosh, the technology is really helping us to get there really quickly. This, at the beginning of Advent, it's an opportunity for us to reassess, to reevaluate, to think, where am I in regards to the Lord? Have I prepared myself for the second coming of Christ? Am I ready if indeed He comes tonight? If that is the way that the Lord will come, if the Lord is going to break in to my life, or indeed, if today is the day that I die, what have I done to prepare myself for this? How have I opened my heart to allow the Lord to do His work in me? What do I need to repent from today? What do I need to acknowledge is not going well in my life? What do I need God's grace and mercy for? How can I open myself to the presence of Christ in my life today? Advent is a season of waiting, of preparing, of hope. Hope that can change us. Hope that can bring new life. Let's allow this season of Advent to be a time when we truly prepare for Christ. When we open our hearts and lives to receive the Lord, to let Him change us, to let Him bring new life into our life.